We mentioned regarding the Rosh, was from the Gedolei Chachmei Ashkenaz, which makes him unique in the fact that the Rosh as well, that the Rosh then, who had left or actually fled Germany to go to Spain, and as mentioned, one of the first really meeting and encounters that he had was with the Rashbos. You have the two Gedolei Hador, the two the giants of the generation, meeting one from the Rashbo, who is Ben Shlomo Ben Aderes, who is from the Sephardish Gedolei Yisrael, and then you have the Rosh Rabbeinu Osher, who is from the Ashkenazi Gedolei Yisrael, and it's mentioned that they already had correspondence, so when they knew about one another, so it was a great simcha, so finally that they would be able to actually meet, be able to meet one another. And the Rashba was the one who really brought out his greatness to make it known, the greatness of the Rosh, and he recommended that the Rosh becomes the Rav of Tultila, which is known today as Toledo. As I mentioned, if you look in the Tshuva Sarosh, when he refers to Toledo many, many times, but it's called Tultila. Someone just looking at it, that would not always know that who he's referring to. And the same thing, actually, the Tur, which is, of course, the son of the Rosh, throughout Ebenezer, Cheshimishpet, and all the places that he mentions. Again, he mentions Tultila many times, because the Balaturim also moved there together with his father. The Balaturim also left Germany, and ultimately he had settled in Toledo together with the Rosh. And he brings down many, many takonis, many, many interesting halachas that were implemented in Tultila, which is in Toledo. For the fact is that the Sephardic community, you know, agreed and accepted upon themselves, you know, the appointment of the Rosh, who was a Mechachma Ashkenaz, to such a prestigious and a responsible position, that of course talks a lot about how far his reputation preceded him. It was almost unheard of that, you know, to have someone who is from Ashkenazic extraction to be appointed as the chief rabbi, you know, in Spain. The Rosh was clearly the exception, and as a matter of fact, he became the chief rabbi in the entire region of all of which is called Castilia, which was also a place which had a lot of Talmid Chachomim and a lot of learned people. And the personality of the Rosh left a tremendous rishim and an imprint on the Sephardic community. And it didn't take very long until the fame of the Rosh actually spread out to the entire country. Interesting also, we mentioned that in Barcelona in the year 1302, the Gedolei Yisrael, the Rashba, and many others, that they basically had proclaimed and they instituted a ban, a cherem, against people under the age of 25 to learn, as we said, philosophical svarim. They call this Sifrei HaYevonim, Chochmas HaTeva, philosophy and so on. We said the exception was medicine. That was their proof that you can learn even under the age of 25. And they sent a special shliach also to the Rosh, also to sign it. And the Rosh also was among those that had signed that declaration and that ban. You have to realize that the Rosh, you know, he leads the community in Toledo. He becomes not only the Rosh HaRabonim, he not only becomes the Rosh Bezin, he's the Rosh of many things. Rosh HaRabonim, he's the Rosh Bezin, he's the Rosh Yeshiva. And he basically took full authority on anything and all the surrounding communities, not just Toledo, but all the surrounding areas throughout the particular Jewish communities all around. He was the head of all the Rabbonim, he was the head of all the Dayonim, he was the head of all the community leaders. And as a matter of fact, his Bezin had the authority, one of the unique situations, which was sanctioned by the government, that gave him, as I mentioned last week, pure autonomy. Which means is that no matter what was the rule of the land, you know, in the Goyisha courts, it didn't make a difference. But the Rosh's Beis Din had the authority upon the Jewish community to be able to paskin according to Jewish halacha, and so on. And we mentioned something even extreme, something very extreme powers that the government gave, which is the Beis Din of the Rosh, not only regarding monetary matters, right? Not only penalizing people inflict punishment, but even to the point of capital punishment, which the Rosh refused, said, we don't do that, we don't have the Sanhedrin. And although some said, but listen, but the government is sanctioning it, the government is giving permission to do that. The Rosh says, you know, the government is giving permission doesn't mean we have to take everything that the government gives or allows. And basically says, it's not for us to do. And he says, I will not have anything to do with something that involves taking a life. We don't have the Sanhedrin today, and therefore we don't have the authority to do that. The Rosh, anybody who had learned a little bit of Rosh recognizes very clearly the writing of the Rosh is something which is very, very clear. The Rosh does not leave too much to the imagination, but rather very concise and very to the point. And they distinguish themselves, you know, with the clarity of thought and the logic. And it was basically his psakim, his rulings were accepted all over. And during the time that he was in Spain, he still received shilas and questions from all over, still from Germany. Shilas came in from Germany, questions came in from North Africa. As a matter of fact, again, even when there were difficult cases where the governmental courts, right, where the Gentile courts, where they had difficulties recognizing his greatness and his wisdom, they would send difficult cases. The Goyish courts would send difficult cases to the Rosh to hear what his opinion is on certain situations. And again, they felt that he'd be the one who would be able to solve, all the complicated things. We have about today, I guess there's in print about more than 1,000 tshuvas, a responsa in every area of halacha. That's just in the shalos tshuvas, in the questions and answers. We pointed out that when the Rosh came, one thing that really he was sort of not very happy about, that in spite of the fact there were a lot of Talmidei Chachamim, as we mentioned, in Spain, but he realized but the focus was not on learning Gemara. And that was something that the Rosh took upon himself, he's going to change that. What they were basically learning is, as we said, the Rif, right, was Rav Alphus, which basically has taken out all of the pilpul, you know, of Shas, and brought it down to basic halacha. So we'd be learning basic halacha with all the give and take, with all the shaklatari, with all the questions and answers, and with all the pilpul. And the Rosh felt that Gemara has to be learned. Rif is very nice, it's okay, but not at the expense of abandoning Gemara. So the Rosh in his yeshiva, and the style of learning also was different. Even when you did learn Gemara, it was a different style of learning Gemara in Spain as the way that they learned it in Germany. Germany had the Balei HaTosis, which is the Tosis that we learn basically. You see that type of style of learning, and the Rosh introduced the German style of logic in learning how to learn Talmud into his yeshiva, which was in Spain. And it was from the yeshiva basically that he had in Spain, that the chidushim that we have, alashas, from the Rosh, is basically mostly from there. It's mostly talking from the time that he spent in Spain, that we have the Tosfos HaRosh on so many mesechtos on the Gemara that we have today. And the yeshiva of the Rosh suddenly became so attractive that it attracted Talmidim from all over, attracted Talmidim from Spain, and his hashpah, his influence, went way beyond Spain, and he had even students at that time, imagine coming from far, far, far Russia. Coming even from Russia. Somehow the word of the Russian yeshiva, you know, really got out. And people, can you imagine how long it would take to travel for somebody really to want to go and to learn Torah, to come to the yeshiva of the Rosh. Of course, one of his greatest Talmidim was his own children and his sons, Rabbeinu Yaakov, the Balaturim himself. You have Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Arosh, who was the Mamalamokim, and the Rosh was Nifter. He succeeded his father. There's the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, one of the great Poskim, Rav Shtoiri HaParchi, which was the author of the Sefer Kafta Vefer, and many of the Gedoyla Hador of the time, basically the Talmidim of the Rosh. One thing is very interesting about the style of learning of the Rosh, the Shitta of the Rosh is, and he did not only take that upon himself, that he gave authority, he said, if you're a genuine Talmud Chochem, he says, then he says, you do not have to accept upon yourself, he says, and force anybody's opinion upon you. In other words, no one can force his own opinion upon you. If you are an accomplished Talmud Chacham, he says, you have the right to go through the Gemara and draw your own conclusions, he says, if you feel that you are right. And he says, and therefore, you may find in Svarim at the time that have different opinions, he says, but you are not subjected, he says, to be forced to accept their opinion or anybody else's opinion. If you are someone who really knows how to learn Gemara, it means you're accomplished Talmud Chacham. The Rosh felt is the Gemara is your Rebbe, he says, ultimately, and not what somebody else necessarily has to say. And that was basically, which is not the opinion of the Ravid. Ravid said a person really should bend his head, but the Rosh's opinion was you're accomplished Talmud Chacham. The Torah was given to everybody, and therefore you have a right to come to your own conclusions. Was the shit of the Rosh, and one of the sort of like proofs to that, he says, do we have anybody like greater than Rashi, right, who really explained and wrote commentary everywhere, right, and wherever you can expect, and yet we find his grandchildren disagreed with him. Rabbeinu Tam, we find the Ri, other Balatoysis, right? And the idea is when it comes to Torah, he says there's no Hanifa, there's no flattery to anybody. You give a lot of COVID with the greatest der Cheres, but nevertheless, when it comes to Torah, he says, and basically Rav Moshe writes the same thing in many places. He writes regarding Halachic, that was Rav Moshe really, but Rav Moshe said that even though there may be a lot of people he said were greater than him, I mean, that's what he said, doesn't always mean that they were, but Rav Moshe writes, even though they might be greater, but nevertheless, he says the Torah was given to everybody, and if you feel that this is right, this one Rav Moshe wrote, so that's the way he paskins. That's the way he paskins. And on Kapalim, this was the Ishit of the Rosh going back in the time of the Rishonim. Also, the Rosh said anything that you paskin has to have a source in Talmud, has to have a source in the Gemara. If you don't find a source in the Gemara, that already, he says, is already faulty. Your ruling is already sort of like faulty. And therefore, he was very critical against many of the Dayonim in Spain, who basically used the Paskin, he says, from the Rambam. Rush did not like the idea that people just automatically accepted the Rambam for whatever the Rambam Paskin. The Rush, let's not make a mistake, very much respected the Rambam. But it's not over, he says, over Gemara and over Talmud. Which means what happened is when the Rambam wrote his Sefer, so many people stopped learning Gemara and had, listen, we have it all. It's called Mishneh Torah, right? So why do you have to learn Gemara and plow through difficult sugyas? Just learn the Rambam and you have you have Kol HaTorah Kulo Lefanecha. You have the entire Torah in front of you. As a matter of fact, that's what Rambam wrote. Rambam wrote, he says, I'm writing this halacha called Rambam in order to give people the ability to be able to go through the entire Torah just by learning Rambam. And the Rosh Lamaisa was against that, and he said that those Dayonim, by the way, those Dayonim who paskin simply because they found the Rambam paskins that way, if you did not go through the sugya, then you don't even know really what the Rambam might be even saying. You have to have background, you have to go through the sources, and then you'll understand the Rambam also better. And therefore he was against the idea, he said simply, paskining aloha, he come to conclusion merely by opening up a Rambam, and he said, toyim. So they're making mistake called Hamoirim Hoirois Mitachdiva Rambam, the Enem Bikim Begimore. The making the mistake is that those Dayonim were simply passing straight out of the Rambam, and they do not know Mehechen Hoitzi Devora from where the Rambam's rulings, where they come from. And as a result, he said, they're making mistake, you know to what extent? The mistake is Toyim Heim Lahatir Ho Osur La Esur Hamutir. They come to the point of extreme mistakes, of making also that which would be Mutter. Not slight mistakes, very mistakes, and making mutter, that he says, which is osir. Because he said, if you're not a book in Gemara, he says, then you don't really understand the subject matter well. And there are sometimes the small differences right in a situation that changes the whole halacha. And if you don't know if you're not aware of the background of the halacha, then you're not going to be sensitive to some small little changes in a situation. You're going to say, oh, it's the Rambam's talking. Maybe Rambam's talking about something which is slightly different. And you'll say, it's all the same. It doesn't make a difference. And therefore, the Rosh said, he said, it's a mistake simply to paskin outright, he says, from looking at the Rambam, but you have to really go through the Gemara itself and not rely simply on the Rambam. But the greatness of the Rosh was that he basically fused together the two styles of learning, both the Derech HaLimud, the styles of learning as the way they were learning Talmud, you know, in Germany, together with the style of learning that they learned in Spain, and basically he brought it together to bring out sort of the best, to bring out the best of the different schools that people were learning. But at the end of the day, the Rosh's opinion, and no offense to anybody with Svari over here, but this is the Rosh's opinion, the Rosh Lamaisa felt that the Ashkenazic way is superior, he says, to learning, he says, than the Sfarish way. And he had that opinion in Halach as well. Anyway, that's interesting. While he was in Spain, and again, they loved the Rosh there in Spain. Even though many times the Chuvis says, a lot of the things I tried to influence certain Halachas, and they said, listen, we're Sfarim, we're not Ashkenazim, and we don't want to accept this, he says. We're Jewish too, and we're doing a lot of things right here. We don't need somebody to tell we're doing wrong. We should be doing things differently. So not everything that the Rosh wanted to implement, they were ready to accept just for face value.
over there. So just the in thing what the Rosh leaves at Tzvo to his children and to his family, that basically that they should follow in the paths of the Yovois. And the Sefer that we are learning, which is Orchis Chaim, I want you to know, was basically when the Rosh wrote the Sefer Chaim, which is the pathway of life, it was really intended to be a Tzavo. These are the last words that he wrote for his children. So we're learning it because, you know, this is something that is for everybody. It's not just for his children. But this actually was written as a Tzavo to his children and turn all the Midos Tovis and all the positive character traits that one should be. There's one more in the Kud I want to bring out, that Rosh is very strong, that a Yid has to, in his belief in Hashem, presses to believe that not only that he said that Hashem created the world, but also that Hashem runs the world. And therefore Hashem is really on top of each individual person, and is exactly involved with the life of each individual person, no matter how many billions of people, you know, there may be in the world, but Hashem is involved with each and every person, and it's something that we call Hashgocha Protis, right? Where there is divine supervision on each and every person, and according to some opinions, on each and every thing even. That's a big philosophical discussion. We should not get into that now. How far Hashgocha Protis extends? Does it extend on the animal world as well or not? Which we know this is a very big discussion. But anyway, what the Rosh says as follows. Merely believing in Hashem, but not believing that Hashem is involved in every aspect, he says as follows. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Right? So you believe Hashem, he says, right? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. He says, I'm your God. What does it say after that? That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu supervises, right, is involved in events. I'm one that took you out of Mitzrayim. So the Rosh says like this, if you don't believe in Mitzrayim, then you don't believe in Anoich Hashem Elokecha either. You can't separate the two. If you don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved, Sis Mitzrayim is just one example. If you don't believe Mitzrayim, then you don't believe in the Anoich Hashem Elokecha either. It's one package. You believe there's Hashem in the world, and also believe that He is involved in the events that are taking place. If you don't believe in the second half, which is symbolic of everything, events that take place in the world, then you don't believe in the first part either. Because it's one and the same, and that was the Shita of the Rosh. So let us take a look, Rabbi Isai. Here, let's go to the Orchis Chaim. As we see that Orchis Chaim, you know, is always very bekitzer, and therefore we sort of like to supplement it a little bit from elsewhere. Okay, we are still, of course, by Yom Rishon. All right. So we go to the second page, turning over the page here. We had Gimel, which we did, which we have here, which is Davov in our edition over here. You see, it's Davov. It's Davov, but it's the second page, you know, when you turn it over. Okay, he said, the Rosh said the number of things that a person has to distance himself from. So he says is, here he said, last week we spoke about V'chei min ha-sheker v'ha-kozov. Make sure, he says, that you distance yourself from any falsehood, right, and deceit. Make sure that you're completely, totally honest. And we went through already discussing, you know, the degree of sheker, with how far a person has to distance himself from anything that is sheker, and anything that is kozov. Just want to mention that the shir is l'schus for fushleima, for brachet zipeire, bas rochel for fushleima. Okay. The Rosh also says, a person should also be misrachim l'tzonis, means for mockery, the people who make jokes all the time. And the idea is that person who just lives in that type of a lifestyle, you know, it takes away from the seriousness of life. If you take a look in Dalet here, you see in the beer that we have over here in the Orchis Chaim, v'cheim en l'tzonis is kalus roish. It is lack of seriousness. Is b'li oil toyer v'yishumayim. Somebody, right, who is lacking the yoke of toyer v'yishumayim, who besets richin lisrachik moed, and the reason Rambam also includes it moed, to distance yourself, because it's something that becomes very contagious. The person who's involved in litzonis, just mockery and jokes all the time, it's something that just becomes just part of his natural vocabulary, and takes away his ernstkeit and the seriousness of avodas Hashem and his position in the world. So litzonis is also something that somebody should be misrachik from. The Chemina Rechilis, also from Rechilis. Now it's an interesting thing. Let's take a look here in the beer that we have here from Moshe Sternbuch. And remember that something extremely unique, you know, that we have here on the Sefer Orchis Chaim, is the fact that not only that the Tosfos Yontif, remember we mentioned, published it. Himself, he was the one that published it. Tosfos Yontif, because he felt how important it is. But he also, as we said, he divided it up. He was on divided it up into 7 days a week. Every day learn one portion, which means you're going to complete it 1 week cycle and continue it week after week, week after week. That was the Tosfos Yontif. And remember also on the title page of the original that the Tosfos Yontif wrote, this should be divided up, you know, per day of the week. And also, when you're learning it every day, right, each day you're learning a different portion, but you can be learning it while wearing your talus and tefillin, right, before Baruch Shomar. Before Baruch Shomar, so you're learning it on the highest level with tremendous seriousness. You're wearing your talus and tefillin. That's how the Tosfos Yontif instructed you should be learning the Yerachas Chaim. But in addition to all that, what else did the Tosfos Yontif do? Tosfos Yontif went and he wrote a translation. Tosfos went and he wrote a translation on the Yerachas Chaim. That's something usually you hire somebody, you know, who needs to make a few dollars. You hire somebody to translate something. Tosfos Yontif was a Gadol HaDor, writes Pirushim HaMishnayos and so many Sforim on Halacha. What does he do? Translate the Yerachas Chaim. And he translated it into Yiddish. Because he wanted women to understand as well. He felt it's important Musar, which is for everyone and everybody. So he translated, but his Yiddish is not the same as today. It's got an ancient Yiddish. He had a Pirush on his translation and that. To know exactly what he meant. But he teaches Rechilas something differently than usual, because the Chofetz Chaim, you know, Rechilas, L'Seilach Roch, what does Rechilas mean? It is also prohibited, right, to go to someone to say, so-and-so said this and this about you, which is bad. You can't do that. Not that, if you do that, you are over a lav min ha-Torah. The Torah clearly forbids that. The definition of Rechilas is, again, going to someone saying, so-and-so said this about you. Right? So when the Rosh says v'chem na rechilus, I would think that's what he means. You have to, right, refrain from rechilus. You do not go ever over to anybody and say so and so says something bad about you. However, the Tosfos Yontif says there's another pshat also. Let's take a look here in Hey. V'chem na rechilus, you have to, right? You should distance yourself from rechilus. What does rechilus mean? But Tosfos Yontif pirish rechilus haine lihisare binyonim shel acherim. The Yontif learns is don't mix into other people's affairs. There are people always that mix into areas they don't belong there. Right? Do not mix into Yom Shalachem Uligaris Oysam Echot Kengereshani. And what happens usually when you mix into other people's affairs, so what you do is you try to encourage someone, right, to encourage someone to easily, you know, this guy did something so bad to you, and then you're getting involved in it, and you're taking sort of like sides in an area that does not belong to you altogether, and thereby you're promoting or encouraging someone, right, to really get after somebody else. How can you let him get away with it? You have to get people like that. Says, how are you letting him get away with it? The guy maybe is willing to forgive, the guy maybe is willing, you know, to calm down, maybe to think it up, but you're getting involved in it, so you're now spurring him on. So the idea is, the Rechilas means to get involved in an affair, and right, and bringing out, encouraging someone against somebody else. Rechilas means encouraging someone against somebody else. V'on regilim lefarish, but we explain Rechilas, like the Chofetz Chaim says, Hayne kiroichel ha-mesaper is someone who is a tale-bearer. Is a kereichel amisaper, like someone who comes on, a reichel who uses a peddler. Peddler, you know, he always knows what's going on by everybody. That rechilas of Moshe peddling. You're telling me, not peddling wares, you're peddling information that you shouldn't be doing. So it means you're going into saying, hamisaper, the reichel is misaper, kach v'kach, dibar alecho, ployni uployni. And by doing that, you're also encouraging someone against somebody else. Then you go over to someone and say, so-and-so said this, so you now are creating, you're also creating that bit, right, to spur and to start over, ignite a machlokes against someone else. So in any case, but we're going to focus on a little bit over here is number vav. The chei min akas. The Rosh says, distance yourself from anger. Anger is a very, very terrible character trait. And this is what we're going to be discussing today. And if you take a look here in the bottom, look in the Hagoyis over in the bottom, from Moshe Sternberg, V'chei min akas, I in Rambam, look in the Rambam, Perik Aleph Milchus Deyes, the Rambam writes, Shitzorech lehisrachek, a person has to distance, should distance himself, migaiva, right, that's from arrogance, and kas and anger, till the extreme. And I could say achre, V'yelamed atzmoy, and he should try to exercise, shal yichas, not to get angry even on something that he feels that might be appropriate to get angry, but do not express anger. Distance yourself. And so on and so forth. So what we're going to be doing, let's take a look at the sheet, and we're going to be doing, looking a little bit what Rav Chaim Shmulevich, Nesefer Sichas Musar, has to say, right, a little bit on the essay regarding kas, regarding anger. And we have also a little bit of the Ramchal. The words of the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal, also speaking about anger. And we take a look first. The first item we have over here. First item that we have over here is
from the Sichas Musar from Chaim Shmulevich, which is Maimar Chov Gimel, Tavshin Amar Gimel. So let's take a look at it. He says as follows. He says that Dvarim Harba Motzino B'Divra Chazal B'Gnus Midas Akas. Chazal, he says, have not held back. Many, he says, Mamorim, we find the Chazal have expressed themselves in many different ways, right? In terms of the shame of Midas Akas, how negative, how bad Midas Akas is. For example, Omar Rav Barav Hunet, Kol HaKoyes, anyone who gets angry, afilu shchina ein cheshuv kenegdoi. It means that if someone who gets angry, it means that even the Shekhinah, he may have the presence of Hashem around him, but it's not going to mean anything. When a person becomes enveloped, kas takes over, anger takes over, then there's nothing really around him that will be important. It goes further that Rabbi Yirmiyah of Medifti, he says, a person who gets angry, I mean, I'm talking about a person, that's the way he is. A person who is angry. An angry person who allows the anger to get to the best of him, the better of him. Mishaker Talmudic, he'll forget his learning. Could be a chocham, he knew a lot, he knows a lot of Torah. But through the mere fact, the fact is that he is a person who is kas, who allows kas to get the better of him. Mishaker Talmudoi, umoisev tipshis. Not only forgets his learning, he is also an addition on the other side also. He adds a lot of tipshis, a lot of right, ignorance and so on upon himself. Shenema, because the Pasuk in Kehelet says, Kikas bechei kesilim, he says, Yenuach. He says, Kas will be found, he says, on the lap of foolish people, which means that if you were a chacham before, but the fact is that you got involved with Kas, with anger, it'll turn you into a foolish person. What else do we have? Rab Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar. Rab Nachman bar Yitzchok says, someone who gets angry, be Yedua, it tells something about the person. You can be sure that it's not just one thing about him. A person who's angry showed that he does not have control over his lifestyle. If he does not have control of his lifestyle, that means he's probably weak in other areas too, and who knows how many averus he has. Because there's always Yetzer Hara, right, that you have to fight off in many areas. So kas would be simply a red flag. If you see somebody who subjects himself, right, and succumbs to anger, be yedua shim avoynoysof meruvim eschoyoysof. One can assume that his averus are more than his mitzvahs also, because he's not able to control himself. Shenemar, and there's a posik, ubal chema, person, right? Person possesses anger, rav pesha. Right? Rav pesha means he has a lot. His sins are a lot. And then the next member says, kol akoyes kol mine gehenim sholtim boy. A person gets in kas, all different types of gehenims, because one thing leads to another. So he'll be involved in many, many different averus. And if so on, he brings a posik. Go to the next paragraph. Now, listen to this. Ach, milvad ho onshim aboy malakas. Says Reb Chaim, besides the onshim, besides the various punishments that we see that comes over a person who is in kas, goyrim hakas lo odom leirid madrigosoy. Kas calls a person to fall from his madrega, ula abed es maloysof aruchnias, and he loses all his spiritual milas. A person could have a lot of spiritual milas. Right? A person could have a lot of milas in ruchnias, but if a person allows himself to get involved with kas, and kas again is something that he has no control over, he falls from his madrega. It's like an elevator going downhill. So it's not just kas. Kas is just one aspect which basically will cause him, ultimately he's going to lose his account in all the things that he had attained in Ruchnis. The kach omru. The Gemara says in Psochem Daf Samachvov, listen to this, Rish Lakish Omar, kol odom shekoyes, a person who gets angry, im chochom hu. If he happened to be a wise man, chochmosa mistalekes memenu. He loses his chochma. Now where do you see that? Memoshe. Let's take Memoshe Rabbeinu. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know when he sent the people into the army, right, to fight Midian. Remember when they came back, Moshe Rabbeinu gave them instructions. He gave them instructions that they have to wipe out, right, all the people, right, the Anoshim, the men, the Noshim, the Taf. They came back, right, and they did not fully complete the task. And they left, right, the Nekevos, they left the women, right, and they left the animals. And the Pasuk says, expresses the following, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that they did not clearly fulfill, which was the commandment of Hashem. So it says, the Pasuk says over there, Vayiksoif Moshe got angry. Listen to what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Vayiksoif Moshe al pekudei achoil, Moshe got angry to some parshas matos. Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, right, on the pekudei achoil, on the officers of the army. So what happened after that?
You know what came after that? What mitzvah was introduced after Melchemes Midian, after they came from Midian? They brought back all the spoils, they brought back all the kelim of Midian. So now was the next mitzvah was introduced, kasher and kelim. Because if you didn't write, you realize you take all the kelim, a treif kelim. All the vessels, right, all the things that they brought back from Midian, all of this part of the spoils, right? So in order to be able to use it, so now for the very first time they were taught how to kasher kelim. Kelim that were you treif, how to make it kosher again. Who is the one that taught it? Not Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pesuk says, Elozer HaKohen. You know why? Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the halacha. And the Chazal tell us it's because he got angry. A great man as Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're going to see, even though he had a right, not when he said it was a right means, there was good reason though. There was good reason, but not to get angry. As we're going to see soon. The Pesuk says, Vayoyim Elozer HaKohen Elanche HaTzovah. Elozer HaKohen is saying to the Anche HaTzovah, to the people of the army, Haboyim LaMelchoma, that came from war. Zois Chukas HaToyro, now he's teaching him the new halacha. Elozer HaKohen is teaching him the new halacha. And he's saying, Zois Chukas HaToyro, he says, these are the laws of Shetzuva Hashem, Es Moshe. Right? And he tells him all the halachas regarding Kasher and Kelim. So the Gemara says, Mechlal, so what do we see from here? The Moshe I'alamenei, that Moshe, right? Moshe forgot it. That Moshe Rabbeinu, it was hidden, concealed from him. So the Gemara uses that as an indication that even someone as great as a Moshe Rabbeinu, now Yiksa, if you got angry, you lose Chochmah, you lose part of your wisdom. If you get angry more, you lose more of your wisdom, and so on and so forth. And the Gemara goes on to say further. The Gemara says, listen to this one. Amar Rav Mani Bar Patish, Rav Mani the son of Patish says, Kol Shikoyis, if a person gets angry, Afilu Poiskim Olav Gedulim and Hashemayim. Let's say Shemayim, right, had decreed that he is supposed to, right, that he is supposed to be a winner of a jackpot, either a tremendous amount of money. Let's say Shemayim decreed that he is supposed to be able to arrive at a very high position. If he gets angry, he's going to lose it. Now that which was destined, that person could have written up in Shemayim something beautiful, right? A beautiful future ahead of him. Or some very tremendously good news is supposed to come just around the corner. If he got angry, he's apt to lose that which was promised. Shemayim is going to change their minds. And here's going to prove that. Kol Shekoy is a person who gets angry. Even though Shemayim promised, right? They promised Gedula greatness for him. Marita Moisa, he's going to be lowered from that greatness that was destined to come his way. Now listen to the Raya. Menola Me'aliyah. I tell you a little small little story to understand what's going on over here. You realize that Shmuel Hanavi was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go and to who's going to be the next king. Of course, it was supposed to be David HaMelech. Now Yishai, David was the son of Yishai, David ben Yishai. Yishai had quite a number of sons. The least likely, if you were supposed to guess who's going to be king, was David HaMelech. David HaMelech was a shepherd, did not seem to be the most talented person of all of them, certainly was not the oldest one. The oldest one was Eliav. Eliav was a brother of David. Not only that, he was tall, he was handsome, he had all the milas, and he was a very highly respected person, Eliav. Shmuel HaNovi, when he was told to go to the house of Yishai, to go ahead and to find, right, and to find a king, what he expected is, and what was really destined was supposed to be Eliav. So he goes to the house of Yishai. Turns out in the middle of the situation, we find is that the Plishtim, right, and the camp of the Bnei Yisrael, that they were at war. That Bnei Yisrael were at war with the Plishtim. And the famous story with Goliath, right, Goliath, right, the mighty, mighty giant, right? And then the question was, who's going to have the courage, right, to be able, there's no one that was able to match anything that, to the height of Goliath. And nobody would have come forth. And Shaul HaMelech, in order to encourage someone to come forth, he says, whoever takes it upon himself to go fight this mighty giant, Goliath, right, and he successfully says, I give him my daughter in marriage, Michal Bashol. Right? Michal Bashol. So David HaMelech is the one, he takes the challenge. Was that little slingshot over there, right? And here you have this mighty, mighty giant coming against him. As David is making his way, right, to meet Goliath, his brother Eliav did not realize that David is putting himself on the line. And he sees David HaMelech there in the area, so he gets angry and he says, what are you doing there? He says, how irresponsible of you, David, he says, you're going out, there's a war going on between one of our side, he says, and Goliath from the Plishtim, he says, how come you're abandoning your shepherd? You shouldn't be abandoning your sheep over there. Eliav got angry, he lost his temper. And the Pasuk says, the Gemara gleans from the Pasuk, Eliyahu was supposed to be king, he lost it, that's how David HaMelech becomes king. So if you ever want to know, throughout history, David HaMelech again, David HaMelech is all Chavikayim, we talk David, it was on the rebound. It was on the rebound, very few people know that. It was supposed to be, had Eliyahu not lost his temper, he would have been king. It would be no David HaMelech. It's a mind-boggling thing to behold. It's a mind-boggling thing. It changed the course of history. He got angry, he lost his temper. Let's take a look at this piece of Gemara. For that alone, this is a tremendous idea. Look here. Manola, how do we know that if someone gets angry, even if Shemayim had something very great promised, he will lose it? We learn that from Eliyahu. Shemayim, the Pasuk says, Vayichar af Eliyahu b'David. Right? Eliyahu got angry at David. Shmuel Aleph Yudzayim. And therefore, v'chi'ozol Shmuel l'mashchinu, when Shmuel went to anoint them, or him, k'siv, the Pasuk says, ki ma'astiu, I now have become, because Baruch was saying, what happened now, ma'astiu means, I become sort of like repulsed, which is the implication, but before it was okay, he was acceptable. I've become repulsed by him. Nechlau, we see from the inferences, now he became repulsed. But prior to that, he really was the one who was supposed to be. So take a look over here. So this is an amazing thing. So says now Reb Chaim, Haderech laharchik b'nafshisein v'smidas ha'kas, the way to distance ourselves from kas. So what's the etzah? What is the etzah? What is really advice you can give? What should a yid do to be able to distance himself from anger? Is to see and to learn the serious implications. Learn from Chazal. He says, "Lil moidul is bainin harbe b'divre Chazal." Learn and concentrate in the words of Chazal. Beginus midas akas. How Chazal has shown you, right? How terribly, right? How terribly lowering. How terribly negative the midas akas is. Achadayin, he says, but you have to realize it's a forever. You never, he says, really conquer this completely. You're always going to have a michshel lefaneinu. You're always going to have a stomach block in front of us. Why? Because there's always situations that arise in a person's life that are tempting to get angry for. Right? Every time you have a situation that brings us to anger, nidoin shakas mutzdik. Look what Reb Chaim says. Here's the psychology. You know what the problem of controlling anger is? Because in most cases we believe, I have a right to be angry. Well, if you have a right to be angry, so why should I get angry? If you go with that philosophy, that if you have a right to be angry, that justifies being angry, then it would be very difficult to refrain from being angry. Because most cases when you get angry, you say to yourself, I'm angry because I have a right to be angry. But if that's the attitude, it would be very difficult to try to control anger. If you feel you have a right to be angry, says Reb Chaim. That's the situation that we're confronted with. Shebachol mikra, every situation again, hamei vilonu lichois, nidoin, he says, we judge, shakas mutzdik. That opens the door, he says, to fall into the trap of anger. Ulepesach zechatas revitz, that's how you fall into the trap. Ki midis akas, you know what Reb Chaim says, that's all part of the anger. Anger, he says, confuses the mind into letting you think, the energy, he said, the emotion of anger clouds the mind into misjudging a situation, making you really believe in your mind that you're right. The emotion of anger is something that really clouds your mind and confuses the mind in making you thinking and you believe that you're right. That's also part of the emotion of anger. Kimidas akas, it says, ma'aveses, it blinds, it crookets the shikla das. It outbalances. A person really does not have the objectivity to think properly, because that's what kas does, that's what anger does. The goyremes, and therefore the anger causes, lodun, you come to conclusion, I'm justified. But that's all part of the anger. The anger makes you believe that you're justified in being angry. It says Reb Chaim, but now, achkishin is boyim divrei Chazal, but now, when you look into the words of Chazal, you'll find out, you know what you'll find out? You'll find out that even if you're right, it does not give you a right to be angry. That's the point. Even if you are right, but right in the situation that happened, you're right, something wrong took place. But just because you are right, does not give you the right to be angry, he says. Nimtza sha'af kas mutzdik, right? Goyrim lo'odam la'abed isma lo'isov v'leirim adrogosoy. It means, he says, because if you get angry for you lose your temper, you can lose your madregas, you lose all the spiritual attainment. He says you can lose it, just lose it. Look over here. For example, so we want to save time over here, so let's take a look. Go to number two, for example. Go over here. For example, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu, right, because he got angry. Look at number two, paragraph number two. We saw that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, right, when they came back from Midian, because they did not fulfill. They did not fulfill the Tzivui Hashem. They did not do what they were supposed to do completely. As a result, Moshe Rabbeinu forgets. He forgets a halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu was 100% right that they did wrong. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, he got angry, so to speak, for the right reason. But nevertheless, being angry for the right reason, right, causes the same damage. It causes the damage that anger causes damage, even if the anger is for a right reason. That's what he points out. Moshe Rabbeinu did not get angry for a wrong reason. He got angry for the right reason. But anger, by its nature, causes damage. Hadover Poshet. Look at number two. It's Poshet Shekasoi B'melchemes Midyon Hoye Mutzlik. It's Poshet, he said, when Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, when it came to the Melchom of Midyon, he was right. They did not fulfill the commandment of Hashem. They went to war for one reason, to take up for the revenge, right, for Kvod Shamayim, and therefore they had to do what they had to do. They should have wiped out everybody in Midian. As a matter of fact, what caused all the problems were the daughters of Midian, and yet they went to war and they left them. And when the Jewish people, when they allowed the Nekevos, the females, to remain alive, so now they're bringing, the whole problem was the daughters of Midian, by keeping them alive and bringing them back into the Machne, they're bringing the poison back into the Machne. So Moshe Rabbeinu was right in what he was doing. You'd say, certainly you have a right to be angry. And also, what was another case? Because we left out before. Another case where Moshe Rabbeinu got angry was by the Mon. Remember the situation when Moshe Rabbeinu told the people manna is going to fall every day, but you're supposed to, right? You're supposed to consume it and not leave over because you're worried about tomorrow, because Hashem is going to give every day fresh. So the Pasuk tells us that there were people, as we know, right, who left left over, and as a result, that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at them for leaving over and defying his instructions. Moshe Rabbeinu forgot certain halachas of Shabbos that he was supposed to teach them regarding Shabbos. Now here again, the anger was justified, because they defied the Tzivui Hashem. Hashem said they should not leave over. So Moshe Rabbeinu's anger, one would assume, was justified. And look what happened. And nevertheless, the anger caused the damage. He forgot another halacha. He forgot the halachas of Shabbos. So he points out, the Chaynami, the same thing says, by Moisire Hamon, the same thing, those people who left over the Mon, they were chayt in the nest itself. Mon every day is a nest, is a miracle. And by leaving over, so now they're doing a chayt in the nest itself. Shenitin lem lechem shemayim al tanai, because Baruch is giving lechem from heaven with a tanai that they don't leave over. Elo yoichlu dvayu em b'yoyimu, that they eat up every day. Vilu heiman, they on the other hand, right, they defied, they broke the condition. Hoysiru l'machas, but overall Tzivui Hashem. Vadai shemokim godol yeshlik savlem. All these cases would be very good reason, would be justified to get angry. And yet, vafal pikeim, nis'almu halochis memoshe. And yet we see that Moshe Rabbeinu forgot halochis. So you know what Reb Chaim tells us? Listen to what Reb Chaim says. Because the consequences of anger, for example, losing one's chochma, right, is not because it's a punishment. Because you don't deserve punishment if you were right. What happens is it's a natural thing. Kas destroys, because it's a natural thing that if you have kas in your body, it burns out wisdom cells. For example, if someone, due to no fault of his own, if you take poison, right, it's going to kill him, even though he didn't want to take it, or he took it by mistake. Why? Because the nature, if you take poison, it's going to do what it does. If a person drops an axe by mistake, the axe is going to chop, right? It's going to chop, it's going to cause damage, by its very nature. So, kas, by its nature, burns. If a person's body, right, is filled with anger, the anger is by nature, that's the nature of anger. Anger burns. Look what he says. It burns. It consumes. Let's read again, start again. Vava became the Salma Mena, he says, Halochis, he says, from Moshe Rabbeinu, Mishum Shinire, because it's my opinion. The reason that you lose Chochmah, if Moshe Rabbeinu was justified, why is he losing his Chochmah? The reason that you lose Chochmah, it was not the Aveira of the Kas, it's the Metzias of the Kas. It's a natural phenomenon. It just burns his Chochmah. The Ein Nafkim in a Klal, whether it was justified Kas, right? The din hu sheyichoyes becholayf mahakas masalik is chasmosu mimenu. Umachshov. So now it says Reb Chaim, kvar ein mokoim laodem loim. A person cannot say, now I have a right to be in kas. You can be right all you want, but it's going to do the damage. You can be right all along, but kas will do the damage. He says, because why? Because this is the nature of kas. So that's the situation. So, after you see these words of the Ramchal, you'll find out the following. You'll find out and you'll see that how the Ramchal tells, the Ramchal has a whole essay actually regarding the Inyan of Kas, but he wants just to tell you how confused a person in his fit of anger, he's so selfish because he's angry, so he's concerned about what bothers him, that at that point, if you would give him the opportunity to destroy the whole world, he wouldn't care. It's possible that a person in a fit of fury becomes so self-contained. Ramchal will show how dangerous it is. How dangerous, because a person is, because he's taken out, he's temporarily insane. That's what Ramchal says. A person at the time that he is consumed with anger, at that point he's temporarily insane, and if given the opportunity, he would be able to destroy the entire world because he's angry. Let's look a few words of Ramchal here. It's in Perek Yudalev, the Mesil Shishoran. When a daber ato min akas, hine yesh haragzon. By the way, he goes through these different levels. We just have one part of it. He goes through the different levels. There's a great kasam. There's a person who is a minor kasam. There's some people who are just in the middle. You know, they're not the great angry people, but they are here and there. And he goes on discussing the different levels of anger. Hine yesh haragzon shomro. There is a person who is so angry that Chazal referred to him kol akoyes kilo oivin avodizora. There's a level of anger that if you allow yourself to get to that level of anger, it's literally, it's as if actually you're worshipping Avodah Zarah. The who hanichos, I'll call the, what type of anger that? There are certain people who get angry every time somebody does something, right, against their will. And that's if they have an idea. If you don't do it my way, there's certain people that just go ballistic. No matter what it is. If you don't do it my way, the way I want it to be done, they just get angry. But who hanichos, somebody who allows himself to get angry, I'll call dover sheyasu neged ritzoinai. If you do something against my will, mismalachema, he just gets full of anger. Ad shekvar liboy balimoy, to the point he says that his heart is not with him, his mind is not really with him. The person really loses it, he says, the atzosoy nivoro, and parshat etze, which means advice, sound mind, is destroyed. Vina ishko, there's such a person, right? Such a person who tips off, you can tip him off so easily, gets angry so easily. There are people, right, who are so self-contained in their anger, that if you give them the opportunity, it's kedai, because of his way, to destroy an entire world. Why? Because when you're angry, the seichel, he says, is not working. Then his mind is not working. His mind is totally out of commission. And he has no, he says, he has no real understanding of anything. That he's no different, he says, than any beast, any wild animal that's out in the wild that kills and destroys. All of them are. And it's to this kind of a person, he says, that Iyov says, there's a person who allows, right, to destroy himself in his anger. Do you expect me to keep the world desolate because of you? Now, such a person is ready to destroy the whole world. He's angry. And if he's angry, he said, nothing else matters. That is a real, he says, Ramchal says, you can find people up to that level. And then he goes on to explain also lower levels. And here goes on, Ramchal in this paragraph says, you should not get angry even for a mitzvah purpose. Even a mitzvah purpose does not justify getting angry. And he says, that even when it comes to a bar mitzvah, his hirunu zal, Chazal have warned us shleilichos. Afil horavim talmidoi, a rebbe who sees the Talmud is not learning properly. Yeah, you have to deal with it. You have to give him mussar, but depends how you give mussar. So even a rebbe who wants the Talmud to learn, the way to teach him is not by getting angry at him. Or a father wants to teach a son. So a father wants to discipline a son. You can discipline him. Again and again. And you should discipline him. But not anger. Anger is not part of the disciplining. Don't get me wrong, Sir Michal. I'm not saying, he says, don't discipline. I'm not saying don't discipline him. Yes, discipline and discipline. Rebuke and rebuke. Ach mebli kas, but not with anger. Kim lahadrich oisem mederach hayeshora, but keep teaching them the right way and the right path. Now he says there's something called superficial kas. You're not really angry, but you're making a face of anger. In other words, you're showing, it appears to them that you are angry, but you're not really angry. You're not doing it out of the fit of anger. Vakas sheyirlahem, the anger that may appear on your face, yekas haponim, should only be outward anger, he says. V'loy kas alev, should not be kas from the lev. That should be the idea. So here again, as Ramchal points out, again, even the ways of chinuch, in the ways of chinuch, how to be very careful, right? Even a rav, a talmidoi, how one should conduct themselves. So I want to show you just a little bit. We have no time here, but look, turn the sheet on the side for just a few lines here. Number 4. If you take a look here, this is what we have here. Number 4, Oyla Yishorim. This is brought down some words from Shlomo Volbe. Shlomo Volbe was a very chashuv mashgiach. We know that, right? Shlomo Volbe, one of the things, he wrote a whole sefer on chinuch. It's something which they use very, very much today. It's been translated in English also. Whole sefer on chinuch. And Shlomo Volbe is very much against, he says, very much against going, he says, with, there's different ways, he says, of disciplining. And he points out when there's a posik that many, he says, in years, going back, they used to quote a posik about sparing the rod. Sparing, chaysach shifto yisayin ibn, if you spare the rod, you hate your child. Give him the rod. So Shlomo Volbe says, in every generation, the rod, right, is different. Sometimes the rod may be meant to be a whip. Today it might be a bag of candy. He said, maybe that's what you have to give him, he says. The definition of what the rod is, he says, changes according to the times, he said. He says, the rod, he says, shiftoi does not always mean a whip. The shiftoi, the rod, is supposed to be, he said, that which is to reach out to be able to bring out the best, he says, in the one that you're trying to discipline. And therefore he says, look what he says over here, these are the words of Shlomo Volbe over here. From Sefer Al Yishor. Ech Shehu, number 4. He said, Gam Mechanech Umanik. See? Somebody who's a Mechanech and he's a Manik is the leader, Tzorach Loseis, Natel Askon, and Shemikas Aleif. Should realize what danger, if he really leads the community, or he's trying to teach with anger. But Mokim Shesrich Skonel Napshoi, both it's a Sakona for himself, he puts himself in danger. It's a Skonel Ozeh Shekoyasem Olof. It's also a danger to the one who's on the receiving end of the anger. Lebal yigram loy nezek she efshel esakne yachakach. Sometimes a Rebbe in a fit of anger can cause damage that's irreversible. So is the Pshat Melova. She efshel esakne yachakach. You'll not be able. Bedoireinu acholish. Look what he writes. In our generation, the times are different. Shvach adoiris, he says. Shvach adoiris. So in our generation, befrat, eina talmidim yecholim lizboil kas rabom. In our generation, Talmidim are not able to tolerate an angry Rebbe, an angry teacher. It's not going to work, he says. Shomanu me'echad me'menahala yeshivas. So we have heard about one of the principles, or one of the menahalim of the yeshiva. Shahachanosai, the preparation, lohichiyach talmid, al maisa nivza. You know, we know that an instructor, or Rebbe, right, sometimes prepares, right, quite a number of hours, or whatever it is, you have to prepare a lecture, prepare a shir. This particular principle would prepare longer how to speak to a Talmud that needs disciplining to find exact words longer than he would prepare for a lecture. Because here you're dealing with the sensitivities. You're dealing now with the feelings, human feelings. And you want to achieve and you want to accomplish. And at the same time, you don't want to embarrass. So it took him longer, says Rav Shlomo Volbe, preparing the words, how to rebuke a student or a Talmud, longer than he would prepare a shir. Look what he says over here. Shachanosa, his achone, his preparation, loichich Talmud al masa nivze. Talmud is something which is something which is embarrassing, and he wants to rebuke him. He would prepare the right words. Nimshecha l'pomim yoiser ma'asher ha'achone l'maimer barabim. When he had to speak for a rabbim, right? He had to speak and give a drosha to the rabbim. Preparation to speak to one Talmud would take longer than preparing a drosha that he has to speak. Right, to Rabbi, to a lot of people. That's very interesting. Let me just leave you. Let me just tell you here, we have 3-4 minutes left, that Reb Chaim Vital actually writes in Shah Ruach HaKodesh. I want to tell you, Reb Chaim Vital, of course, was the great, great Talmud of the Arizal. Chaim Vital writes, and I'm going to read you a few words, but Reb Chaim Vital writes from the Rebbe, the Arizal. Hine my Arizal, writes Reb Chaim Vital. My Rebbe, who you makpid be'inyan akas, yoyser mikol shar hu averis. You hear that? The Arizal. The Arizal would be makpid, would be more, right? We'd be more concerned, be more upset about anger than any avera, he writes. Afilu kishukoyes bishul mitzvah, even if you're doing it for a mitzvah's sake. Says Reb Chaim Vital about himself. Afilu kishoyisi melamed is ochi. Seems that Reb Chaim Vital would tutor his brother. That's what it seems from here. Says Reb Chaim Vital that even when I would teach my brother, and he wasn't following the way I wanted him to follow, I'd get upset at him. For Yisi Koyis Olav Alze. Vegam Alav Dover Hazeh Yizironu Hamoiri. So my Rebbe even gave me Musar on that too. My Rebbe warned me again that. Vohoi Chichani Bemoid Moid. And he gave me a lot of Musar. And he explained, why is it that Kas is worse? Why is it worse than anything else? So the Arizal, who was a big bucky, right, in Kabbalah, right? And Arizal, who understood the nishamas of a person, listen what the Arizal says. Listen what happens. Listen what happens to a person that gets angry. For you know, in Tamil, Zeviyoyme, Kol Shar Ha'averis Poigimim Be'ever Echot. When a person does an Avera, the Avera causes damage, spiritual damage to that Avera. A person steals, damages to the hand. A person thinks about something, right, which you shouldn't inappropriately, so it does damage in that area. And so on. Whatever aver was used for an avera, right? The pagam, the damages in that. Avol midas hakas poigemes kol aneshama kula. Rizal is telling us that. Kas is not just in one area. The person gets angry. Kas is poigem. You know what happens? Va'oisa oisa treifa. It makes the neshama treif. If you have not treif, you have no neshama really. You have no viable neshama. That's a Rizal. Was angry, was makbid more on Kas, writes Reb Chaim Vital more than anything else. So let me just leave you. You know, Reb Mechel Zlotchever is one of the great, great tzaddikim of all time. And he had a very expensive pair of tefillin that he received by Yerusha. Received Yerusha from his father. The mother was Reb Issachar of Drobich. He was known as the Maggid of Drobich. It's interesting to mention, who would know that? Only the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov knew, he would look at a person and he would know the Shayrish Neshama of a person. The Baal Shem Tov said on Reb Issachar Drobicher, the father of Reb Mechel Zlotchever. As you mentioned on the side, I had revealed to people because he doesn't really tell everybody, but Reb Shneur Lyman is a Rebbe Sheinikel, is an Einikel of Reb Mechel Zlotchever. So I revealed it. Okay. So it's a Shaykhis to Grace Redis. Anyway, so the Nikud is like this. The Baal Shem Tov said that when Reb Issachar Drobicher came down to this world, he had one of the lowest neshamas. But during his lifetime, through his Avodas Hashem, he elevated it to the highest neshama of many, many generations. That's what he said about the father of Reb Mechel Zlotchever. Tremendous, tremendous tzaddik. And Reb Mechel Zlotchever himself also. So Reb Mechel Zlotchever had a very expensive pair of tefillin that he received by Yerusha from his father. And there were many, many Hasidim, rich people who wanted to buy them because the Hashivas of these tefillin. But of course, he would refuse every offer and he would not sell those tefillin. Tefillin were very precious to him. His wife, on the other hand, his Rebbetzin, would always push him, sell those tefillin. He says, sell them because you have no parnosa. That's the way it was. Great tzaddikim, you know. And then he didn't have parnosa. He says, so sell those tefillin so you'll be able to provide for the family. You'll have something in the house. And of course, he would not hear of it. And the Maisa, he had a second pair of tefillin. Yes, it's not like he didn't have tefillin to daven in. He had a pair of tefillin. So the wife said, sell those expensive pair of tefillin. You'll be able to provide a little bit for the family. But he, the Maisa, if not, he would not sell those pair of tefillin. One year, there was no esregim to be found. Came Sukkot time. There was no esregim to be found. And now it's already mamish a few days before Sukkot. And in Zlotchev, there's no esreg. It's already Erev Sukkot. And all of a sudden, a Yid comes traveling by, and he has a beautiful, gorgeous esrig. He says, an esrig mehudar for sale. And he asked a lot of money for that esrig. Whoever wants that esrig, he says, a lot of money. So Reb Mechel Zlotchever decided he's going to sell his tefillin, he says, to buy that esrig. He's going to sell his tefillin, he says, to buy that esrig. His precious tefillin that he had in Yerusha from his father. And with that money, he went and bought the esrig. And he comes home, b'simcha rabba, with the esrig in his hand. And he tells his wife, Besimchi Gedoyle, he says, look at the Gvaldige Metzia. There's no Esrik in Zlotchev. Look at a gorgeous Esrik I was able to buy, he said, for a pair of tefillin. He wanted her to be happy, she should be a shutev in his simcha. But she got so upset, he says, that's what you did, he said? How can you be such an arza? How can you be a heartless person? When it comes to parnosa, providing for your family, you have the opportunity to sell your tefillin. You never wanted to sell your tefillin. And now for an Esrik, he says, but now Vanessa, you went and you sold your film. She got so upset that she banged it and it fell down and it broke. So now, from Mech Zlotcha looked up to Shemaim and he said, Rabbi Shloim, he says, tefillin I have no more. And Esrig I don't have. But the Yisohara wants me to get angry. I'm not going to give it to him. He says, and Mamele, I'm not going to let him destroy my Sholem Bayis. And that was it. That not allow the Kass to get the best of him. It is said, and this was told by the Shatan Rebbe, that night, Remech Zloshva goes to sleep, and his father comes to him in a dream. The father of whose tefillin was sold. The father whose tefillin he sold. And he said to him, I want you to know, that in Shemayim, he says, it was a tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. You sold the tefillin that you would not give away for anything. But you sold those precious tefillin, right, for an Esrik. So it's a big Mesiras Nefesh. Greater than selling your tefillin for the Esrik, even greater was that you didn't get angry when she broke the Esrik itself. That was greater. And that's the schus that you have.